Well, we're Luke 10. We're still in verse 14 for a minute. Well, we went to 16 for a minute, but we're still in verse 14, going back to 14. We'll talk about judgment some more. It says, it shall be more tolerable for, well, where are we? Yeah, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, when thou Capernaum, etc., etc. Let's go to John 9. I want to talk about what judgment is. Let's just do one verse. No, actually three verses. And verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have had no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." The word judgment is this word, krisis. And the only way we have to think about judgment is because you do something wrong and then you get something happens to you. But that's not what judgment means. The scriptural meaning of judgment is separating, or it literally means to divide asunder. And it all has to do with the purpose. God is only interested, all of time and space is nothing but a womb for the bride. That's one way of thinking about it. And everything in time and space has that purpose of perfecting the bride. And so judgment isn't that you did something wrong as we understand it, or didn't. It means this separation from the bride and the not bride, from the bride and the harlot, from the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. And the vessels of mercy have nothing to do with what we think is good or right, or the vessels of mercy are just those people who have emptied themselves, versus those people who continue on filling themselves with themselves. And so it has nothing to do with punishment in the way we understand it. It just has to do with the purpose of time and space. So the judgment is to separate. And that's what it means. For judgment came I unto this world, that the bride might be made of him, and that which is not the bride is that purpose of testing him. Is that clear? All right. Now, but this thing about that they, for judgment I am coming to the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, this is a whole section of Isaiah 43, or 42, I mean. I want to go there for so it explains that. In order to understand it, we have to read the first few verses of chapter 42, and then the stuff about blind and stuff is later on. "But behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, And this is the critical issue. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, so the thing is about blind and see is started to being talked about. The prison, he's not talking about having a prison ministry. He's talking about you and I who have kept this Holy One of God prisoner in the deepest dungeon of our being. You understand that? We keep him prisoner, just as if we were in one of the worst jails, or he was in one of the worst jails of Marquis de Sade or something. And we keep him in that prison because we continue on living life as if it were in time and space. And as long as we do that, then we keep him in prison. Now, the whole idea of he said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And what that's saying is, he is doing nothing about anything in time and space. He's doing nothing about anything that we can see, hear, touch, or smell. His purpose is something so totally beyond it that we can't have a cause, and if we have a cause, we keep him in prison. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. What?
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I hear what you're saying.
All right. Then let's go down to verse 15. Well, I must read it, the whole thing. I am the Lord, that is my name, in verse 8. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, what's that mean? The new song that we sing has no reference to self. That's the concept of the new song, because self is gone. And so, this is what drives me nuts about much of Christian music, because it's all about what me. It's me, 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 me. But that's the whole point. We're to sing the new song that has no reference to ourselves. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man, like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up their herbs, or their herbs, and I will make the river the river's islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now, why the blind? What's the meaning of the blind? If we think we see not. If we think we see and make judgments about what we see, then we've missed the point. He shall bring the blind, those that do not pay any attention to what the senses say they see, and he shall bring us by a way that we knew not. In other words, that's the reason that the works can never lead you. Because once the works lead you, then you are the one that's defining the path. So he's bringing the blind by a way that we knew not. And sometimes it makes absolutely no sense. It just seems like it violates every sense of common decency and common, I mean, everything. But he's bringing us by a way that we knew not and that we know not. We continually and always go without knowing. Now, and then it goes on about blind. Then they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Now, we never say those words, but we are saying to the molten images, our emotions, that you are our guidance. We say to the graven images, the things we have, the ideas, their agendas, their purposes, their stands, we say to them, you are our gods, instead of this one strange being that's taking us by a way that we cannot possibly know what's going to happen next. Now, it gives more. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you might see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servants? I mean, this takes away every common sense kind of thing that we can think of. It takes away every way that we've learned. It takes away every aspect of any opinion we have. Except, I still wish they wouldn't have any labels. Can you hear this? You go without knowing. You have no idea what's going to happen next. You have no idea. But if you think you know what's going to happen next and you try to causative action, then you put him back in the prison cell. Now, we're all guilty of it. Well, let's go on a few more verses. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear this for the time to come? And that time to come is now. Let's go back to Luke. Now let's go to Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them, which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and tolerance, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, this one used to confuse me terribly, because when it says whoever you are that judgest another, you're doing the same thing that you're judging that person for. I didn't understand that, because I didn't really understand the law. In terms of, and it's hard for what Pete and I do not to judge, because there's so much fraud in the name of God, and what it seems that we automatically should judge them, but we can't. If we do, then we are guilty of the same thing. But just think about in community, how we are. The reason for living in community is so that what we do can be seen and you can be exhorted daily. And, you know, just think of this. We have some idiots. There's no question. But by idiots, by what standard? I mean, it's easy to judge, you know, somebody that you know. I end up always ending up judging Jeff because of the thing I said the other day, the tyranny of the obvious, and it just drives me nuts sometimes. But then when I'm alone and I think about it, I'm as guilty as he is about the tyranny of the obvious. And so the whole idea of seeing something that you judge, what your mind says you're judging someone down, but the Spirit is saying that person is there to show you what you're doing so that you can repent. Now that's hard. That's really hard. Because, no, I'm not doing exactly the same thing. But from God's standpoint, I'm doing exactly the same thing. when I judge somebody. Do you understand?
Yeah.
All right, now let's go back to Luke. No, I don't feel like talking to him. That's enough. Do what?
Jose,
the guy after wants a cup of coffee, but he doesn't feel like.